There's a sweet up here. Before I preach, I just want to share some news that's come from the Youth Encounter weekend. It's why Paul isn't here. He's away with 8 other leaders and 36-37 young people. We don't text or talk when he's away on something like a youth weekend. There's never time. So this morning I got a text and I'm reading it as it was written. 4 new Christians last night and another thinking about it. Stop. But isn't that good news? So I obviously responded back enthusiastically and said, asked whether any of them were TBC youngsters, and he said 2 plus the thinker. That's really good news. I encourage you to keep praying for our children and young people, not only the children and young people that are here on a Sunday, but also those who come on a Friday night to BFG and to Youthy. I don't know whether it's any of our Youthy youngsters or our TBC church family. I didn't ask for names. But that is some good news and most appropriate to share with you after we've just shared communion. This morning, we are acknowledging our shock. We've had a lot of loss, haven't we, recently? And we're just reeling from yet another. And on hearing that Judy died, as Rob has already said, I just felt I couldn't bring the sermon that I'd already prepared. I've got that one in the bag. You will get it at some point. But I just felt we needed something gentle this morning. I just felt that we needed to turn to some of those familiar scriptures that I hope will help encourage us and remind us of who God is. So we're going to take a wander through Psalm 46. It reminds us how when troubles are near, God is nearer and ready to help us in our time of need. When our troubles are great, God is greater. When we feel overwhelmed, God is our safe place. So if I could, if you are turning to the Bible on your phone, you'll know how to find Psalm 46. But if you're looking at one of the Bibles that we have at the back of the church, you'll find Psalm 46 on page 570. Please don't ever be ashamed that you need the page number to find where we're preaching from. So let's just read this together, and then I'm going to go back to the beginning, and I'm going to take a wander through this psalm. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not feel, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though the waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her, she will not fail. God will help her at break of day. Nations are in uproar, kingdoms fall. He lifts his voice, the earth melts. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come and see what the Lord has done, the desolations he's brought on the earth. He makes wars cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and he shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. He says, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. So let's start at the beginning of that psalm. It starts, God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, even though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging. I may have shared this before, but when Aunt Jess was little, one of our favourite go-to places when we were living in Tunbridge was to go up to London's Natural History Museum. We would travel up one of the great big escalators there, and as we travelled up, it was as though we were going into the inside of the world. It showed, the display showed how the Earth is made up of tectonic plates. We think we're standing on solid ground, but really our continents are afloat. They're continuing to be built and changed by the foundation of the Earth, which is constantly on the move. Now, the psalmist would not have understood the science behind earthquakes and volcanoes and whirlwinds. And he certainly didn't know the degree to which we have a changing, a dynamic, living planet set in an exploding, expanding universe. But he did understand one thing without a shadow of a doubt. That is, when the structure crumbles away, even when we're hit by troubles like earthquake and tornado, hurricane, or of tsunami proportions, God is safe. God is solid. God is powerful. And we can find refuge in him. Disasters, terrible though they might be, don't have to erode our faith in him. Even bereavement, which is a furious, raging storm, it uproots us, it shifts and changes everything. Even in this season, God has promised to be there. And so we don't need to be afraid. And yet most of us, if not all of us, will have moments of anxiety and fear when our world feels threatened. When everything we once knew changes, we worry about what the future holds. Every Monday morning, the ministry team, Paul, Linda and myself, we have a meeting which relates to the business of the church, if you like. We look at what's coming up and we talk about what we need to be doing. But before we talk about the business, as it were, of church life, we always spend a few moments reflecting on God. And to help us this week on Monday, I used a painting by somebody called Ludolf Bakhuizen. I don't know how to pronounce it. He was born quite a long time ago. And it's called Christ in the Storm on the Sea of Galilee. And this, I hope you can see it a little bit. This is the picture that we just reflected on for a few moments. The Bible story that the artist has in mind is in Mark's Gospel, where Jesus is in the boat sleeping through an epic storm because he's had a really heavy ministry day. The disciples are afraid and they cry out to him, "Don't you care if we drown?" Waking up to the storm and speaking into it, Jesus says, "Quiet, be still." And then the wind died down and it was completely calm, Mark tells us. And I just wonder today how that painting might speak to us. Don't you care, God? I'm drowning. Or maybe he is a calming presence in our heart and mind. Are you sleeping, Jesus? I'm scared. Or is Jesus really active in the storm? I wonder what you first noticed in that picture. The people in the boat? The storm raging around. Maybe you were trying to work out which character is Jesus. Or maybe even you spotted the break in the cloud, a symbol of hope. The psalmist reminds us that God is ever present. He's with us and he's promised not to leave us. The ever-present Jesus draws close to us today, and he is closer than we think. Thanks, Chris. Matthew records another story on another day. Same disciples, different storm. This time Jesus isn't in the boat with them. Matthew says, immediately Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side while he dismissed the crowd. After he dismissed them, he went up to the mountainside by himself to pray. Later that night, he was there alone, and the boat already a considerable distance from the land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. Shortly before dawn, Jesus went out to them walking on the lake. And many of us will recognize that as the story that concludes with Peter walking on the water. But I wanted to focus on those earlier verses in that story because I wonder whether it raises some why-type questions. Why did Jesus send the disciples out on the lake to struggle against a prevailing wind? Why did he do that? Why did he leave them alone for most of the night? Why did he wait until dawn before he did something? You know, when we're in a struggle of some kind, it's not uncommon for us to ask that question, why? And there are never any easy answers to why we might be struggling. But I want us to notice what Jesus is doing during that storm. He isn't getting some shut-eye because he's tired. He is on a mountainside and he is praying. He is watching and he is praying. He knows what is going on. He can see his disciples from his vantage point. He's rooting for them and he's talking to Almighty God about them. Jesus is no longer on a lakeside hilltop praying for us. But the Bible reminds us that he is at the right hand of God. And what is he doing? He is praying for those that he loves. Paul writes, Christ Jesus who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. We read that in Romans chapter 8, one of my favorite chapters in the whole Bible. There's a conversation going on in heaven, and that includes you, and it includes me today. The letter of the Hebrew reminds us of much the same. Jesus lives forever. He has a permanent priesthood. Therefore, he's able to save completely those who come to God through him because he always lives to intercede for them. Such a high priest truly meets our need. So even when Jesus feels distant, he's talking about us to his Father in heaven. And I think that is pretty amazing. Isn't it? That's how much God cares. So let's come back to Psalm 46. The psalmist says, there's a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her. She will not fail or fall. I can't read. God will help her at break of day. Nations are in uproar, kingdoms fall. He lifts his voice, the earth melts. The Almighty is with us. The Lord Almighty is with us. Jerusalem, which is the city that perhaps the psalmist had in mind here, Jerusalem was an unusual city because it didn't have a natural water supply, and this made it really vulnerable to attack. Babylon had the river Euphrates, Damascus had the Berada, and Nineveh had the Tigris. All Jerusalem had was the Gihon spring outside its city walls. This psalm is reminding the people who are enjoying singing along to the psalm that Jerusalem is vulnerable, and the vulnerability of Jerusalem is actually God's gift. Israel has a weak city to help them focused on their fragility without the divine power of God's Holy Spirit. They would be nothing. The world around us might well be in turmoil. Our world might be falling apart. Our fragility is obvious to all around. But for those of us who are following Jesus, we have access to his divine grace and his love and his mercy, which flows like a gentle river, bringing reviving and refreshing and consoling benefit. It's a placid stream following its serene course without disturbance. This is what God promises to us when we follow him. And so we're invited to come to him, to bring to him the places where we're hurting, where we're confused, and where we're unsure. We sing a song sometimes on a Sunday here: all who are thirsty, all who are weak, come to the fountain, dip your heart in the stream of life, let the pain and the sorrow be washed away in the waves of his mercy as deep cries out to deep. A lot of the Psalms are written by King David, but this psalm was written by a group of songwriters. If you've still got your Bible open, can I just encourage you to go back to verse 1? God, they say, God is our refuge and our strength. Look now to verse 4. They talk about the city of God. Oh, no, not verse 4. I'm so sorry. My notes don't make sense here. I want us to look at verse 7. The Lord Almighty is with us. And then somewhere in this psalm, we'll leave it as the Lord Almighty is with us. I think in one of the versions I was looking at, oh no, I am right, in verse 4, here we are. Let me get my notes right. In verse 4, it says, the holy place where the Most High dwells. And then into verse 7, we read, the Lord Almighty is with us. Verse 1, we start off with the songwriters talking about God. And by the time we get to verse 4 and further into the psalm, they are talking about the Most High and the Lord Almighty. There's something that has changed in their language. There's something that's changed in the words that they use. And I want you to use maybe my imagination, if it isn't yours. I imagine a group of creative people starting to worship God. And then maybe they pause. They reflect. Maybe they share a story or two of what God has done for them, or where God has been in the times when they've really needed him. Or maybe they've shared something of their faith. As they have gathered together in writing this song, something has changed their view of God. He's not just God. He's become the Most High. He's become the Lord Almighty. As they encourage one another, God has got bigger in their minds. His power and his goodness has grown them. God is greater than what is going on. Their faith gets bolder. They become faith-filled. And this is what God wants for us and from us today. It is such a temptation when the storms rage around us for us to batten down the hatches and retreat. And I know some of us need personal space, time alone, in order for us to process what is going on in our lives. But you know, it is so good for us to gather together and be together, to be in the presence of others who can hold faith with us and maybe even at times hold faith for us. The writer to the Hebrews said, let's keep a firm grip on the promises that keep us going. He always keeps his word. Let's see how inventive we can be in encouraging love and helping out, not avoiding worshipping together as some do, but spurring each other on, especially as we see the big day approaching. The big day here being Jesus' return when he comes to carry home his bride, the church. When we are struggling, it is better for us to engage with one another, to weep together, to share together, to laugh together, to find God together. It's very lonely when we go to that place of retreat and isolation. Whatever space we create around ourselves to protect ourselves, can I remind you, God is safer than anything we can create. And it's really safe when we create space with God's people and he is there. Jesus calmed storms with just a few of his power-filled words. We need to hold to those words, and we need to hold to times when Jesus has defied science and miraculously walked where we are and done something supernatural. We're to share those stories to remind ourselves and each other of how big God is, how only he can meet our need. It builds our hope and faith. It says maybe God will do this again. So when we share together, the divine Jesus draws close, so much closer than we can imagine or think. The psalmist carries on, come and see what the Lord has done, the desolations he's brought on the earth. He makes wars cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks bows and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. He says, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord Almighty is with us, the God of Jacob is our fortress. The psalmists want us to know that there is nothing that God cannot overcome. The psalmists, although they didn't know Jesus in their day, they want us to know that Jesus is praying for us. The Holy Spirit is moving among us and within us. This morning, we need to know that Jesus has the power to defeat what is too strong for us to defeat on our own. He still walks on the churning waters of life that can frighten us so much. When Paul goes away, it is usually an excuse for me to decorate a room. And my intention is always to have it sorted by the time he comes back. So I picked a really tiny room, one that I could do in a day. I decided to take the wallpaper off because I wanted to replace wallpaper with paint. As I pulled the wallpaper off, great chunks of the paint peeled off with it. And so with my scraper, I went under these nice peely bits and pulled it off. until I got to the bits that wouldn't peel at all. Not even a hot gun will get that paint off. It is welded to the wall. And as I was scrubbing away at the wall yesterday, and as I was trying to get rid of this paint, it came to me that this is an image that God has for us as his people, to be welded to him. And it reminded me of these words in Isaiah. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. For I am the Lord your God. And we will only be welded to Jesus when we spend time with him, when we are still before him, and we know that he is God, the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. So we're going to spend some moments in quiet, being still before God, knowing that he is here and with us right now. We're going to take space to allow him to penetrate our hearts, to comfort us, to reassure us, and to strengthen us from the inside. For us to enjoy those that we're fellowshipping with, that we're worshipping with today, here and online. To know there's nothing that God can't overcome. To remember that Jesus is praying for us. And to know that the Holy Spirit understands everything we feel. So let's be still. Let's know, without a shadow of a doubt, let's know that God is God. Allow God to bring song words maybe to mind that strengthen our faith. One that came to mind for Simon as we were praying before the service are the words from the song that says, his love never gives up, it never runs out on me. Allow song words to come to you and remind you of God's goodness. Let Bible verses come to you. Let us be reminded of what a God we worship, one who is bigger and greater and more powerful and more interested. One whose heart is always weighted on mercy and grace. Be still. and know. God is God. Amen.